Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of Hebrews chapter 6, we were talking about the surety of the promises of God. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Psalms 89, verse 35, says it this way, "Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David." Well, why is that? Well, true holiness cannot lie. If it can lie, then it's not true holiness. So he says, "Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David." Amos chapter 4, verse 2, "The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness, that lo, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks, and your posterity with fish hooks." Now understand, the promises of God, whether they're negative or positive, but they are confirmed by the oath of God, and they're made in the eternal counsels of God. Those promises may always be depended upon. In other words, they're good as done. You know what it's like saying here? He's saying, "I will cease to be God if I do not perform what I promised." Now, friend, if God was not holy, his promises would be of no effect. You know, it's interesting that Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now, when a person's body, not just his spirit and soul, but his body is holy, he's separated from the world. That guy's not smoking, he's not drinking, he's not cussing, and I mean, his life is wrapped in the holiness of God. And he has standards. And a person that's going to live holy and righteous is going to have standards. And the world is going to make fun of it. Other Christians are going to call him a legalist. They're going to have other names for him. But the truth of the matter is that a holy person is not going to look worldly. And he's not going to be worldly. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And if God wasn't holy, his promises would be of no effect for that person that has separated himself unto God. And so we look at verse 14. We see it continuing. God saying, "Surely, blessing, I will bless thee. And multiplying, I will multiply thee." Now, this is a promise from Genesis chapter 22, verses 16 and 17. Again, it's God speaking. And in there he says, "And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." Now understand, there is no greater security than when God stakes his being and blessing on something. Now remember, he is the creator. He is the almighty. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. He formed it all, the heavens and the earth. He has a name for every star. He has a name for stars and galaxies that men have yet to discover. If one traces in Genesis the blessings passed by God to Isaac and then to Jacob, which is Israel, then we see that we work against God when we curse Israel. Because he made this promise to Abraham, and the holiness of God means that he stands behind that promise. And he says, those that'll curse thee, I'll curse. And those that bless thee, I'll bless. And so, you want to curse Israel today, understand you're working against God Almighty. Now, as Abraham learned in verse 15, let's read that. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. There is most often an interval, and to be honest with you, quite often, that interval is quite long between the promise and the performance. For example, Joseph had a dream of his brothers bowing down to him. But those dreams were not fulfilled for over 20 years. Daniel knew about the book of Jeremiah, and as Jeremiah taught about the 70-year captivity. And Daniel was there for the full 70 years, but when he saw it coming to the end, he was still strong. He was as strong as at the beginning that 70 years was going to be fulfilled and they would be going back to Israel. He knew that. Noah knew a flood was coming, but it was 120 years. And so just understand, often there's a long period of time between the promise and the performance. Abraham would wait over 25 years for the actual son that God had promised to he and Sarah, from the moment he promised Abraham till the time that Isaac was born. In this life of trial, we must learn, especially in these last days, to endure. If one will reread Revelation chapters 2 and 3, you'll see that the faith is often tried. But you'll also see the refrain. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. When he says here's the patience and faith of the saints, that's just an indication that our faith, our patience, will indeed be tried. God's promises, again, have a trust element in them to be grasped by faith and a time element in them to be grasped by patience. And oh, I hope that you will learn that difference because it will help you in the road of life. Be an encouragement to one another, especially as you see the day approaching. You remember Hebrews 10:24-25? And he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the matter is, but so much the more as you see the day approach. You'd be more faithful to God's house if you believe that Jesus is coming soon. All the more. And exhort one another, he says, daily. Be an encouragement to others, to one another, as you see the day approaching. Put away all that pettiness. Well, here is the example of God's faithfulness to Abraham, that we may learn from that. And that leads us naturally to the ethics of God in verses 16 through 18. And as we read verse 16, he says, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Well, an oath of confirmation looks at the disputes of life and settles them. For example, let's imagine I go to Sears and Roebuck or some other store of that nature to buy a vacuum cleaner. And I want one that's dependable. So I say to the salesperson, it needs to last me a year, at least a year, with no breakdowns or troubles. And so she shows me one and she says, this vacuum cleaner is the best one, and I think it'll do what you want. And then she shows me the price. And I say, wow, that's a lot of money for that machine. What if it breaks down in 8 months? I'll pay a fortune to get it fixed. She then shows me the company guarantee. And the written guarantee ends the strife about the machine, because that means all of Sears or all of that company stands behind it. The company guarantor is higher than both me and the lady who sells the machine. Until then, it's her word against my questioning her word. Who was she to make the guarantee? She personally won't fix it. Well, in like matter, Satan can dispute about my soul and my worthiness and really make many strong and logical arguments. But you see, my salvation rests not upon my arguments, not upon my worthiness, not upon my logic. My salvation rests upon the promises of God. My friend, if you are truly saved, your salvation rests upon the promises of God. And I hope that you know that. And so that takes us to verse 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Now he shows that the oath is to the heirs of his promise, not to the world. It's to the heirs of his promise. In other words, those that are saved. And it is by the immutability of his counsel. Now that word immutable means unchanging. Now as I just illustrated previously that about Sears standing behind the guarantee of their product. But what if Sears goes out of business? And then my product breaks down. Doesn't matter if they stood behind it because now they're not there. But you see, my God is from everlasting to everlasting. Scriptures tell us that he says, I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So he's everlasting. He's never going to go out of business, my friend. And he confirmed it by an oath. You know, the word confirmed there in the Greek was a legal term. It means to act as a mediator between litigating or covenanting parties. In God's promise to man, after the unchanging counsel, which took place in the Trinity of God, God in the person of Jesus Christ mediated between man and his own holiness, God's own holiness, in order that whosoever will may come. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.